The Catechism teaches us what good works are this afternoon. The Bible talks about good works. They are the reward of God's grace that we shall receive in the life hereafter. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6 to see that good works belong to sanctification and not to justification. And I want to emphasize that this afternoon. Romans chapter 6. Here is the objection that the Apostle Paul is inveighing against. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? Whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you now are ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. We turn for our instruction in the word of God to the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 24. Top of page 32. But why cannot our good works be the whole or part of our righteousness before God? Because the righteousness which can stand before the tribunal of God must be absolutely perfect and wholly conformable to the divine law, while even our best works in this life are all imperfect and defiled with sin. What? Do our good works then merit nothing, while God will yet reward them in this and in the future life? This reward is not of merit, but of grace. But does not this doctrine make men careless and profane? By no means. For this is impossible, that those who are implanted into Christ by a true faith should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness. Several passages that I want to call to your attention in this connection. First of all, in Galatians 3, verse 10, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things written in the book of the law to do them." Isaiah says, 64:6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." James 2:10, "Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offends in one point, he is guilty of all." In Luke chapter 17:10, "So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things," says Christ, "that are commanded you, say we are unprofitable servants and have done only that which was our duty. And if by grace," Romans 11:6, "then it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace, but if it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work." In John 15:5, we know it well, "I am the vine," says Christ, "ye are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Without me you can do nothing." Matthew 7:18, "A good tree brings forth good fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." "What shall ye then say?" Romans 6:1, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" I understand that this Lord's Day, which deals with the concept of good works, is essentially a follow-up to the previous Lord's Day. You recall that in Lord's Day 23, the subject was that we are righteous by grace in our Lord Jesus Christ through faith, justification by faith, in that therefore works righteousness get us nowhere. You'll find that same theme repeated here. But that all our righteousness is the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is imputed unto us by faith. And you recall we refer to Romans chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul says, "What did Abraham find? That his works merited anything? Not. But that it was imputed to him for righteousness." What? His faith. He believed. In other words, by faith, which is the means of God, we take hold of Christ in him crucified, and thus by faith it is imputed unto us that we have his righteousness and are wholly cleansed from all our sins, and it is as if we had done nothing wrong at all, but have done everything right. Now in this Lord's Day, you see, there is an objection brought. And that's the same objection that you find in Romans chapter 6. The objection is this: if that's the case, if it's only by grace in our Lord Jesus Christ, then to lead the Christian life, even as we talked about it this morning, is all for naught. There is no purpose to it. And that's why you see in the last question and answer, very bluntly, it is asked, does the doctrine of salvation by grace alone, doesn't that doctrine inhibit the righteous, God-fearing life, and does it not undergird the doctrine of the fact that we are indeed Christians who can afford to be careless once in a while? And in that connection, we sometimes talk about careless or profane Christians. Why? Because once a child of God, always a child of God, saved in the righteousness of Christ, what you and I do in our daily lives doesn't really matter. That's a fallacy. Paul inveighs against that in Romans chapter 6. We want to make that same point again this afternoon. In addition to that, in this particular Lord's Day, the question is asked, if good works don't merit anything in my life, of what use are they? And then it points us to various passages of the Scripture, which undoubtedly, unmistakably speak about the fact that there is a reward that our Lord Jesus Christ will give us on the Day of Days. The Bible speaks of that. Well, how can you on the one hand speak of a reward that is given unto us, and on the other hand speak of the fact that our good works merit exactly nothing, and that it's all of grace in the blood of Christ that we're saved? That's the question. That's answered here. And it's answered us building the doctrine of good works. So here you have the doctrine of good works in this Lord's Day. Not the only place, but at the very beginning of the third part of the catechism, which, as you know, is the part that deals with the sanctified and holy life, thankfulness or service, depends on how we teach our children the three parts of the catechism, sin, salvation, service, or sin, redemption, thanksgiving. It doesn't make any difference. Here we're dealing with the last part of the Heidelberg Catechism, and at the very beginning of that part of the catechism, the very first question and answer has to do with good works. So we're going to learn what good works are. Three things. First of all, just exactly what then is the character of a good work? And the implication there is this. The character of a good work is not that it merits anything, but that it inherently belongs to the Christian life. And it belongs to sanctification. In the second place, the Bible does speak about the reward that the child of God receives. And that reward is commensurate to the works which are done in the flesh, as the Scripture tells us. What kind of a reward are we then talking about if it is not the reward of salvation? It is a reward of grace. And then in the third place, let's understand, therefore, that a profane Christian is an anomaly. It's a contradiction in terms. When you're a Christian, you'll be serious in the Christian life and God's commandments. And if someone says, I don't take that so serious, you better question their Christianity. Because once rooted in Christ, we bring forth works of righteousness, sanctification, and holiness. So those three things, good works, their character, their reward, and finally, the fact that they are necessary for the child of God. The question comes to us this afternoon and this Lord's Day in opposition to the doctrine of salvation by grace alone in the blood of Christ. And so we need to underscore one thing again, and that is this. When we're talking about good works, we are in no sense of the word talking about our justification. Let's make that distinction. You've heard me make that distinction often from the pulpit. It makes a difference whether you're talking about works from the viewpoint of our righteousness, which is being justified, or whether you talk about good works from the viewpoint of a sanctified and holy life after we are justified in the work of the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see the difference. And if you mix those two, then you will never understand the concept of good works. And that's exactly the problem that you see so much in the day and age in which we live. There is not a distinction made between justification and sanctification. In justification, you're talking about that which Christ does for us and is applied unto us. We are made right before the face of God in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. He did the righteousness. God imputes it unto us by faith. When we talk about good works from the viewpoint of our sanctification, now we're talking about the works of the Holy Spirit, which He performs in and through us. And the one thing that we have to remember, and we'll mention that in just a moment, is this. That when you and I talk about good works, bear in mind that they are the works of the Holy Spirit that are performed in us in this present flesh. That in and of itself tells us what the character of a good work is. The character of a good work then is this. It is defined for us. It is out of faith. It is according to the law of God. That's what a good work is. If you ask me, what's a good work? What is God pleased in seeing in your life and in my life? There are two things. First of all, we point to the root of that good work as being in God Himself. It is the work which He performs in and through us by the Holy Spirit. You and I cannot take credit for it in the sense of justification. It is not of merit, you understand. I can't say, I did this before God, therefore He owes me this. That's justification. If you want to talk about justification, then you say, our Lord Jesus Christ did this before God. He suffered, He died, He paid the penalty in the depths of hell. Therefore, He is rewarded in the perfection of righteousness, and that is given to me. That's justification. That's by grace in Christ. But when you and I talk about our good works, then we're talking about that which takes place after our justification. After you and I are already righteous before the face of God, and we lead a Christian and a holy life. Now it is that Christian and holy life, that sanctified life, that comes forth out of the new beginning of regeneration, out of the new man in Christ, that's where it's written, that comes out of that and is according to the precepts and the principles of God's Word, chiefly His law. So remember those two things when it comes to good works. You can talk about the root of good works, and you can talk about the criteria whereby you can judge what is and is not a good work. As far as the beginning of a good work is concerned, you will find that it is begun in the spiritual new beginning, the Christ that lives within us by His Holy Spirit. We are the abode of God. Christ, by His Spirit, lives within us. That's the principal new beginning. That's the new life within the child of God. That's the very root of every good work. That's where it begins. And you and I know that. But that good work, you understand, is carried out in the flesh. You recall we spoke about that. Everything the child of God does, as a child of God, as a regenerated child of God, he does in the body of this flesh. I can't do it any other way. From that point of view, Paul says in Romans chapter 6, we read it just a few moments ago, that every part of our anatomy has to be pressed into the service of the living God, has to be made subservient to the new man in Christ. So the new man in Christ is that principal new beginning. It then rules in me. So the body is dead because of sin. The new man is righteous. As I am buried with Christ into His death, so I am dead to sin. Doesn't mean sin is dead in me, but I am dead to sin. And according to the new man in Christ, I am alive unto righteousness. That's a spiritual new beginning that never attains perfection. It's all kinds of scripture that will point that out to you. Chief of which, of course, is what you find in Romans chapter 7. The Apostle Paul there talks about the struggle. The things that I, according to that new spiritual beginning, want to do, I find that when working that out in the body of this flesh, there's all kinds of sin that attaches to it. When I illustrate this to the children in catechism, I usually use this example. When we go to church and we have a bill or a coin, that we dedicate unto God in the offering. The principle new beginning, you see, makes me want to contribute. The problem is, the moment I dig into my pocket and I get that coin out, or I get that bill in my hands, the flesh says, but you see, why not give a little less? Why give this all to the Lord? And nobody will know the difference anyway. So you see, the flesh begins to attack that new man in Christ. And that's when we say, you crucify the flesh and you follow that new man in Christ. That's the struggle always. And so it is with regard to everything that you and I do as Christians in the body of this flesh. We constantly have to deal with the flesh. So the feet are quick to shed blood. The eyes are wandering. The hands reach out to steal. That's just the way it is in the body of this flesh. So we have to crucify the old man of the flesh. So from a principal point of view, God looks at it as coming forth out of that new man in Christ. If God were to look at it from the viewpoint of my flesh, as if it were used to justify me, as if I could have some kind of a merit-based justification, then we have to go to Isaiah. All my works are filthy rags before God. Or we can go to Christ. There is none righteous, no, not one. Or as we read a few moments ago from Luke, Christ says, you're all unprofitable servants. If you and I do exactly what God demands of us, then all we would have done is before the face of God, that which was required of us. We would have merited nothing. We could have covered not one sin. We couldn't have covered our original guilt. We can't cover our actual guilt. We dig a hole deeper and deeper and deeper. And if you and I would have been perfect, we still couldn't have covered it. So merit is never, merit is never, so the works of the child of God never have any merit from the viewpoint of justification. It is always a matter of a sanctified and holy life. And from that point of view, the Bible talks about the reward of grace. There's all kinds of passages in the Scripture that talk about the reward. If you go to our Lord Jesus Christ, for example, in Matthew chapter 6. Moreover, when ye fast, don't do as the hypocrites do. They're of a sad countenance and so forth, but when you do it, okay, go into your inner closet, and your Father which sees in secret will reward you openly. Or you go to the book of Revelation, our Lord Jesus Christ speaks there very forthrightly, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give unto every man according as his work shall be. So it's right. And those who stand in opposition to what we say can point to the Scripture and say, but the Scripture speaks of the reward. You and I reply this way, but that reward now belongs in the camp of a sanctified child of God. It will never bring him to be a justified child of God. It is not of merit. It is of pure grace. Why is it of grace? Because it is the fruit of righteousness. The fruit of righteousness. So we are rewarded according to the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which he works within us as we live holy and sanctified lives. We can't take any credit for that from the viewpoint of being justified. So the reward is always the reward of grace. And from that point of view, we can talk about that. The Apostle Paul. Whatsoever you do, says Paul, do it heartily, knowing that from the Lord you will receive a reward of the inheritance, for we serve the Lord Christ. Moses, before he left Egypt, he, as the writer to the Hebrews tells us, he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He kept the faith, says Paul. Henceforth there is laid up the crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge will give unto me in that day. Again, render unto every man, God will, according to his deeds. To those who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for eternal life, glory, honor, and peace, to every man that doeth good, Romans 2. So the scriptures can be multiplied that speak of the reward. But that reward is always the fruit of the work of the living God in your life and in my life. And that's why it belongs in the realm of thankfulness and can never be in the realm of justification. That's why oftentimes, and you've heard me say this before, the term good work is a misnomer. If you take the word good as meritorious, good works belong to the life of the child of God who has been regenerated, to whom the righteousness of Christ has been applied already by faith, and who now lives in thankfulness and in praise to God for so great a salvation. Now we begin to understand that good works then are an inherent part or a necessary part in the life of the child of God. Paul points that out in Romans chapter 6. How can we, who are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Or how can we, who are partakers of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, not live in newness of life? Or how can we, in whom the Holy Spirit has taken his abode, who is the sanctifier, not show the fruits of sanctification, which is the crucifying of the old man and the putting on the new man in Christ? To ask the question, you see, is to answer it. They're rhetorical questions. And that's why to talk about, as I said in my introduction, a profane Christian, there is no such animal. Or a careless Christian, there is no such animal. If there's someone who comes to us and who says, it doesn't really matter what kind of a Christian life you lead because, and he uses the doctrine of sovereign grace, you're justified in the blood of Christ, and whether you sin a little more or a little less doesn't make any difference. Or as young people sometimes like to say, we'll just sow our wild oats and we'll be done with it. We'll get later on in life, we'll straighten out our life. We don't get too serious about sanctification. That doesn't hold water. You can't say that as a child of God. In fact, the very opposite is true as a child of God. A child of God is bothered by his sin. A child of God puts his head on his pillow every night and prays for forgiveness, and he adds to that, and Lord, help me to do better. He hates sin. He tries to eradicate it from his life as much as possible. He loves the ways of righteousness. And so the child of God who has the Spirit in his heart, faith, that's where good works are rooted. He takes the scripture in his hand and he understands that God has created him a new creature in Christ in order that he may walk in all those good works which God has before ordained. He doesn't dabble in the ways of sin. He hates sin. He flees from sin. He dabbles in the ways of righteousness. That's where he seeks his life. That's where he seeks his living. And it is very foreign. And you and I know it because the Spirit and our conscience bears us witness that when we endeavor to sin, we grieve the Holy Spirit. He lets us know that. And when we further suppress the grievance of the Spirit, we walk in sin, we feel the chastening hand of the Lord, and we begin to understand that you have no business as a child of God who is regenerated and who is a child of God to bear fruits any other than fruits of righteousness. Does that mean that you and I then at the end of our life say, we have been so good? No. In thanksgiving before God, we say, what a privilege to be righteous in Christ, and then to be able to live as a Christian according to the spiritual life which He has instilled within us. That's sanctification. So whenever you talk about good works, and I'll close here, remember this. It's really a misnomer. We could almost better call them fruits of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That would be better. And whenever we talk about good works, remember that all your works and my works are filthy rags before God. And even if we were perfect, we'd be unprofitable servants and couldn't pay for one sin and were laden with sin. But being justified in the blood of Christ, in thankfulness and praise, as the Spirit lives within us, we live holy and sanctified lives. Perfect lives, no. But we take the Scripture in hand and we obey the commands and the dictates of the Scripture the best we can. And so we grow in grace. And God will reward that to us. All kinds of questions about that reward. The reward is by grace, not of merit. We understand that. The reward is also according to the works that have been done in the body. You and I all have a different capacity. We all have different opportunity. And according to those capacities and opportunities, we exercise ourselves. And accordingly, God will reward us in the life to come. That means we won't all be the same in heaven. We might be surprised. But God will give us a reward in glory according to the works which we have done in the flesh, which makes your and my Christian life a very serious matter, that we live as the Holy Spirit motivates, as the Holy Spirit guides, as the Holy Spirit leads us in the Word. Good works, not to justify, but to praise the Lord, now and forevermore. Amen.